Anyway. As many of you know, I'm a beekeeper. And this year's honey harvest was an interesting one. That day of the harvest, I went to my tractor and I made sure the trailer was on and everything, it was aired up and everything. I went to my barn and I loaded all my equipment that I needed for the harvest. And I got my smokers and made sure the smoker working. But there's one thing about beekeeping, the smoker is 90% of the work. It has to be a coal smoke, they call it. In other words, there can't be a fire in there. It has to be a low smoke. So keep that in mind. So on my way, I loaded it up, put my zipper on, my veil and my suit. Everything was ready to go. I went with my tractor to my hives, and I went and got them. And I started halfway through my harvest, and I said, well, the bees are getting kind of agitated, so let me reach over to get my smoker. And I found out that, well, lo and behold, my smoker went out. Now that's not good, because what smoke does, it interrupts their communication between one bee to another, as well as calming them down. Now if there's one bee that's trying to tell the other bees something, they can't because of the smoke. But if there's no smoke, there's communication. Long story short, they're all very upset at me. And at the end of the harvest, I managed to close everything up and scoot over to where I was going. They managed to kill 7 of my chickens. They were very agitated. I learned a very valuable lesson that day. I learned that I gotta check my equipment thoroughly. And it happens to people that have been doing it for a while. Have anybody that's been in an occupation that you've done it 1,000 times, and it gets to the point you start thinking 2 steps ahead and not really paying attention to the step that you're doing. You go by muscle memory, and that muscle memory sometimes falters, you know? Hence, that's what I did. The lesson is focus and pay attention to each step. Always, always keep your smoker on. I failed to do so, and I paid a terrible price. Us in the church can, you know, we can have that same downfall. You can say, Mark, what equipment are you talking about? Well, talking about spiritual equipment. Hence, my sermonette today is called Maintaining Your Spiritual Equipment. Let's open by 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, this is what equipment we have. And most of us, lots of times, I say most of us, because if we all maintain that equipment, this hall would be, there wouldn't be anybody to sit down or so forth. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians, and it says, it opens, this is the NIV, by the way. In verse 8, it says, but since we belong to the day, okay, right off the bat, it's identifying us. He's not talking to just anybody. He's talking to us, children of the light, right? That's what he talks about, belonging to the day. And it says, let us be sober. In other words, you know, our cylinders have to be hitting all 8. I like 8 cylinders. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate. Okay? That's our breastplate. and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Well, there's our equipment right there. Okay, so we have a breastplate of faith and love and hope of salvation as a helmet. Okay, now we got them. And lots of times we get that at baptism. How are we at maintaining them? Okay, so we got them, and is it one and done? No. What are we doing, capital letters, like it says in James 1:22, right? We all know that verse. It's easier to build, and here's something that I've noticed since I was, my early years I did in construction, I was recently adapted to it, introduced to it again, but it's easier to build a house than to repair one. Okay, think about that. Those of us that's been, that knows a little bit about building, you know, you've got, and a builder usually had the concrete already laid out and you're framing, and you all have the framers and okay, here's your stud, and more, and one guy just lay them out and before you know it, that one side of the wall's up and everybody raises it and put it inside the J-hooks you put it in there. Oh, the wall's up, okay. And do that, repeat, before you know it, all four sides are up. And it's easy for people, you hear comments like, oh, how's your house doing? Oh man, it's coming along fast. They put four walls up already. Unbeknownst to none, that's. Now flip over to the repair side. You have a house, it's built. And you notice the shingles are kind of worn out. Then before you know it, you notice a spot in the ceiling. It's all right. Mañana syndrome. You heard that, mañana syndrome. And before you know it, it gets bigger and bigger. And then before you know it, it travels down to your wall. And you notice that. It's not leaking on top of anybody. It's all right. Before you know it, your sheetrock's falling and it's a big mess. And you get a contractor and he's having to tape up plastic the rest of the house up, remove your furniture from that area, and he's doing all this thing, and he's before you know he tears out stuff and you got dust, it's a mess. And people ask you, hey, how's your repairs doing? Oh, it's awful. They've made a mess and they've taped up. I got strangers in my house, and it's totally different than building a house, right? Because repairs take a lot, right? So when we build or put on our equipment, it's a lot different than trying to damage control, right? So it's all have to do with maintenance. If you don't maintain whatever you have, home, car, your body, your physical body, your mind, I recently listened to doctors say, you know, the human beings their health is faltering because of three things. Okay, so what we put in our body and how much, you know, the lack of exercise or too much exercise and stress. So, and I said to myself, well, I've just experienced two close friends of mine that did the top two. But they faltered on the third. The third one got them. So I think number three shouldn't be number one. That's just a personal opinion. It's all about maintenance. How about those of us who are parents, or been parents, or grandparents? You know, your children, or grandchildren. You got to maintain them. The average cost for a razor for a child is from $19,000 to $30,000 a year, supposedly. I looked it up. I think it's a little bit more than that. Oh, by the way, that's not including discipline. That's not including graying or receding hairline. Again, how about your spiritual well-being? 1 Corinthians 13 mentions about all the talents we have, right? You can have this talent and you can have that talent. And it goes on, a whole chapter on it. But if you don't have love, you, capital letters, have nothing. That's what it says. You have nothing. If you don't maintain your breastplate of love, you have nothing. Love is a choice, right? Love of God first. And how do we love God? Show God our love? His commandments. Following His commandments. We also, you know, love God, then love your neighbor. Help him when he is when in need. We'll get our test. We'll know when it happens. We know about tests, right? All that latitude is given to us. We are encouraged to put on the breastplate of love, maintaining it throughout our lives. Going through the aforementioned, you'll toughen up. Once you go through some trials, your breastplates get some dings in it, but it's polished. Because if you gotta show that. You gotta show you're vulnerable. How about faith? That's another part. We're doing it now. We're showing up here for the Sabbath. We're listening to His message. Another part is going through trials. That's what toughens us up, is our trials. Because, you know, any kind of job that you apply for or looking for, you qualify. You know, you can't be I want to be an astronaut. Well, what do you know about astronauts? Oh, no, nothing, but I decide to go. No, you got to study. You've got to know something about it. We do all this because we have the helmet of hope and salvation, right? The hope that lies within us, brethren, through prayers and Bible study. We know that we have that hope. But we got to keep it strapped on. Is it easy? Oh, no. How about Paul? Let's go to Ephesians. Paul to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. And he says, on verse 14 in Ephesians, Paul says, stand firm. Okay? When you believe in something, you stand firm. You say, no, I'm not going to do this. But shrimp have scale. No, they don't. I'm not going to. You know, but they've been flambéed. No. But I think they've been radioactive, right? But supposedly some FDA found some shrimp that was radioactive. Oh, wow. So, stand firm in our beliefs. We will not falter. Having your waist with truth. Okay, what truth is that? Well, we know the truth, right? And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, I've explained that. Standing firm, maintaining our equipment. You know, I went to my college, Sol Ross, at my college, and there was you would see, and there's a joke, by the way, that you have your ACTs and SATs and other college entrance exam to get into Sol Ross, but also you need to know how to rope and ride. It was basically a rodeo school. But, and the rodeo people had their buckles. And they stood firm and they showed them that it cost them a lot of broken bones to get that buckle. And we too have to cinch up our belt. Brethren, if we do not maintain our equipment, our spiritual equipment, we will fall. If we no longer believe, then we have no love. If we have no love, we have no faith. If we have no faith, we have no hope. Brethren, continue in the truth. Stay strong in the faith. Have love for one another. Because that's the hope that's in us. One more scripture. Paul to the Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians 1, verse 27. It says, to them God has chosen. Oh, here's what we come in again. To them God has chosen to make among the Gentiles the glorious riches of the mysteries. And you say, what? What's the mysteries? Well, we know that. What it is, it's God's plan of salvation, right? The glorious riches of the mysteries, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.